Thank you, Carol, choir, Jenny, John, and sound people. It's always a blessing to come and listen and worship alongside y'all in praise. Looking forward to the Easter cantata next week. Just another plug. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, verses 16 through 21. Hear these words. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of God for us, his people. Life's just great, isn't it? At least that's what we usually tell people when they first ask us how everything's going. You pass someone in the hall when you get to school or to work in the morning, and they ask, how are you? And you reply, doing just fine. How about you? And usually they reply with the same thing, I'm doing well. You see, this is the manner in which we typically respond to people when we're asked to give a report on how we're doing. It seems like we're interested in knowing how each other's doing, maybe with the intention of helping the other person or at least expressing our concern in their well-being. But usually everybody seems to be doing the same, just fine. Seems like most people are pretty open to letting you know that they're doing just fine. That said, unless you're one person who stands out in my mind is the exception to the rule. See, in high school, like many teenagers, I applied for a part-time job to try to make some extra money, establish some kind of work history. And I was offered the job, and I was excited to start. I got the job as a cart boy at the country club. And although there were some responsibilities for which I needed training, like running the golf course equipment, the cash register inside, the job seemed pretty simple overall. Clean members' golf clubs after they're done playing, help members with whatever they needed, and be hospitable. Part of the job being hospitable, that part in particular, required me to make small talk and establish some good relationships with the members. It also helped with tips, of course, which included asking, as any normal person would, how are you? And you see, most people would respond with your typical doing just fine. But you know, I soon noticed something curious about one member in particular. You see, several weeks passed, and I realized he never answered me. I didn't notice it at first, but every time I asked him, he caught me off guard with the same question right back to me. Well, how are you? So I made it my one mission at that job to find out how he was doing, not because I wanted a tip and frankly, not because I really cared. I just wanted to see what he'd do. So the next time this member came in from around 18 holes, I asked him how he was doing. As usual, no sooner than I had uttered the last word from my mouth did he ask me, well, how are you? But this time I was ready. Not only did I say, I'm doing well, but I asked him again, how are you? I had him. I pulled one over on him. He won't know what to do, I thought. I looked out of the corner of my eye, tried to catch his stunned facial expression. Well, how are you? What? He still couldn't answer me. How could it be, I thought. Did he really just say that again? I guess my state of being could have changed between the time that I told him I'm doing well and the 3 seconds it took him to ask me again. But I reckon that I ended up being the one surprised. I imagine that he was likely the one looking out of the corner of his eye thinking, I got him. To this day, I don't believe there's a single living soul that knows how that man's doing. His doctor has one of the hardest jobs in this world. I think I would have rather chosen pulling alligator teeth instead of trying to get to know him. Now that may be a little bit of an odd case, but I think it proves a point that we have a tendency to tell others that life is great even when it may not be. Because if you haven't figured it out yet, I've got news for you. Life isn't always that great. See, life isn't always sunshine and rainbows, as my grandmother would say. And although we want people to think that we can manage on our own, we're not always just fine. I'm not going to stand here this morning and suggest that we start telling the cashier at Kibo's or the bagger at the grocery store all of our troubles every time they ask us. But I think it's time to accept the fact that things sometimes just don't go our way. That test has questions on it for which you didn't study or didn't know to study. You get sick on an important day at work. You lose a game that you thought you should have won. You're already in a bad mood and get in an argument with a spouse. And I'm sure none of us can relate to this. You get behind that one slow car that one time you need to get somewhere quickly. That's never happened to me. No, sometimes things just don't go our way. But sometimes things can get even worse. You fail a test, or worse, you fail a class. You lose a job. You get injured, have to sit out for a season. You lose a pet. You get in a wreck. Things don't go our way. But you know what? We're still doing just fine. And you guessed it. Sometimes things seem to get even worse. You're kicked out of school, lose scholarships, you can't find work, you find yourself in debt, you lose a loved one, the doctor gives you bad news, a chronic illness, you lose a relationship, you find yourself in limbo. You eventually find yourself in a place where things not only don't go your way, but there also seems to be no way out. Things are no longer just fine, really. We all find ourselves at some point in life in a place where there seems to be no way out. Despite all the promises that Disney movies and other popular culture make to us, life isn't always just fine. No way out. Now, we're not alone in this experience. You see that Israelites found themselves in a place where there seemed like there was no way out. In fact, they seem to make a habit out of this. You see, in the passage for today, the prophet Isaiah speaks to the people of Israel from a place and a time of exile, the Babylonian exile, a time during which the people of Israel had been taken from their promised land, the land that many of them had ever known, the land that was central to their identity and who they were. Israel was forced to live in a foreign land, to suffer, to exist in a desperate place where they were foreigners, where they didn't know the language at first, where their sufferings were not understood, where they were casted aside and no one seemed to care. A place where it seemed like they had been abandoned, a place where it seemed like there was no way out. A wilderness. A wilderness of spirit and soul is a desolate, lonely place to be. Place where there seems to be no help. Place where there seems to be no sustenance, nothing to sustain you, no power. A place where there seems to be no way out. And this experience, though, is also not unique to the Israelites in Babylon. No, at some point in our lives, most of us seem to find ourselves in this place, the wilderness. At some point in our lives, maybe multiple times, and maybe right now, we find ourselves in a place where it seems to be no way out of our situation, that all hope is lost. Like the sheep separated from the flock, we find ourselves hopeless in the wilderness, no direction, no help, no one even with whom to share the burden. There's just no way I can get out of this mess. There's just no way that I can make it. There's just no way that I can do this. In the passage today, Isaiah refers to the wilderness specifically as a desert. Now, deserts are particularly harsh climates, especially hard for us to imagine given the amount of rain we've had recently. Extreme temperatures, hot and dry during the day, the sun sapping energy from your body, and moisture out of the earth, cold at night, sometimes even freezing temperatures. Nothing to sustain you. No pretty green fields of rye, grass, not many vegetable gardens in sight. No many animals. There's no way out. But what's interesting about this word for desert that Isaiah uses, Yeshimon, it's the Hebrew, it's used elsewhere in the Bible too, in a very particular way. See, it's used by David in the Psalms, it's used by Samuel, it's used in Numbers to specifically describe the place where Israel first found itself wandering, stranded in the wilderness, in the Exodus, on the way to the promised land. You see, Israel wanted to get out of captivity in Egypt so much so that the Lord heard a great cry go up from Egypt, from his people. And when they got out of Egypt, though, when the Lord rescued them, they didn't much like the fact that the Lord took them through the wilderness. Seemed like there was no way out. Israel didn't like the fact that they found themselves in a place where there was no direction, where there was no help, no home. And the Hebrew word says that the people tempted the Lord there in the wilderness. The people tempted the Lord. Like Jacob, they wrestled with the Lord because to them it seemed like there was no way out. But here, sisters and brothers, we have to realize the irony of the situation. When we find ourselves in our own wildernesses, in our own family strife, in our own job losses, in our own losses, in our own anxieties, there is hope in the wilderness because of our God. We're right, we can't make a way out. We can't find a way out. There's no way out for us to make. But the wilderness is a place from which only God can rescue us. The wilderness is a place in which we come face to face with our powerlessness and our reliance upon God. The place where we realize that we don't have the answers. The place where we realize that we can't make it on our own. The place where we realize that we're not just fine. But we come here this morning to worship not a God who left the Israelites in Egypt when they sent up a great cry, left them in the wilderness. We come here to worship a God who made a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brought forth chariot and horse, army and warrior, but made them to lie down and extinguished them, quenched them like a wick. We come here this morning to praise a God who is doing a new thing, who will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, for our Lord gives water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. We come here this morning, sisters and brothers, to celebrate the fact that our God makes a way where there is no way, because our Lord is the way. I'm not standing up here today and telling you that being in the wilderness isn't hard. Even those of strongest faith find the wilderness a hard place to be. In fact, I found myself right there in the wilderness. Probably the lowest point of my life was during the first week of divinity school, ironically. But I'm not even telling you that you have to stop telling people that you're doing just fine or firing back at them with a question. Frank, if you're here, you know who you are. But I am telling you that we have a Lord that not only is our way out of the wilderness, but we worship a Lord who has stepped out into the wilderness to be tried and tested and tempted himself. See, the irony of this wilderness, of our situation, is that the place that seems most hopeless is actually the most hopeful when we decide to surrender our control, we decide to surrender to the Lord completely. Surrendering our control and depending upon the way. Especially during this season of Lent, brothers and sisters, let us be mindful that we can't do everything on our own. That not, everything's not always just fine. That we can't always find a way out on our own. But as we go out from this place today, let us remember that our God is the way out of our wilderness times. Let our hope be in the Lord. Let our faith be strengthened through this wilderness. As we go out from this place today, lean not on your own power to get you through even today, but let your hope be in the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. If you will,